Hello and welcome, everybody. This is episode number 23 of the Book Boys podcast.
We are back.
We're back, ladies and gentlemen. It may have been like 2 months now or so.
Like quite some time. It has been a while, but you know, I think we have a very solid excuse this time with the whole pandemic situation.
Is it a solid excuse? We have so much time on our hands.
Yes. We were procrastinating. Classic teenage stuff, you know, but we figured out the technology and now we're attempting a go at some online. This is the first online podcast.
Yeah, I really hope that the sound is not too out of sync. And, you know, we're video calling while this is happening, but internet inconsistencies and whatnot can cause problems.
Especially on my side.
Yeah. Maybe in the future we'll do a webcam-fueled Book Boys podcast, if you guys would be interested in that.
That could be, especially with maybe a guest. Of some type, we could have definitely a video.
Yeah, so I was talking to our mutual friend who we were going to do the movie podcast with before.
Ah, yes.
And he's interested in doing the graphic novel we were talking about.
That's pretty great. I've been looking up on Wikipedia and stuff, and it really looks like a fun graphic novel to read, and the movie obviously is great, so we could definitely give it a go.
Yeah, I wouldn't even mind watching the movie again, honestly.
Oh, for sure. We're talking about Snowpiercer, by the way, is a movie by the South Korean director Bong Joon-ho, who won the Oscar for Parasite. What a brilliant movie that was.
Both of them are very good, yeah.
Yeah, and definitely in my favorite movies.
I was watching the FX artists react stuff, you know?
Yeah, I know that you can.
Yeah, and then they were showing some things that, just some very subtle things that they did in Parasite to just enhance colors and like some of the special effects they use. And it's, you know, they did so much, but you never think.
Exactly. I would definitely recommend, I don't know if you watched the Nerdwriter YouTube video on Parasite.
I don't watch that stuff.
Yeah, but I usually don't either, but that specific on Parasite is just, it brings my attention to such small details in specific scenes. I thought it was great. It really, the minute details that he puts into each scene is crazy.
Yeah, it's really cool.
But going back to the pandemic, pretty interesting stuff.
You
want to
address
reading.
It, otherwise you could go ahead and address it as Eloy. I'll stay out of it.
Okay, well, I didn't want to address the specific for our podcast, but I did read an interesting article about how Shakespeare wrote a bunch of his plays during quarantine, and this podcast is us writing short stories in quarantine. So, you know, are we Shakespeare? I think so. You know, that's the conclusion I was getting.
Not really anything to do with the pandemic then.
Yes. Well, during the Black Plague, so they were quarantined at home as well.
I see.
And he did write. And furthermore, one of my favorite writers called Camus. I don't know if you've heard of him. Albert Camus. He wrote L'Étranger, The Stranger.
How is that Camus spelled?
Camus.
Really? Because I know of a Kamui, which is spelled K-A-M-U-I. And I thought that
Kamui.
What you just said, it could be spelled like that too.
I guess so, but no. but yeah, he wrote one of my favorite books, and he wrote another book called La Peste, which means the plague, which is about a plague happening in a... I don't know what your level in French is, man.
Oh, okay.
But I was planning on reading that. I found a PDF of it online, so maybe for a future podcast. It's quite big, though, so I don't know if... we should start small.
Yeah, the initial plan for this podcast back was to look at journal entries and just stories and things written in other times that are similar to this time.
For sure.
But we've decided to just write another short story because we thought that was so much
fun
last time.
We've decided, you know...
You kinda... wrote something and then you were like, let's do it. And I was like...
I'm going to be very honest. I've been writing a lot more.
Even outside of this story that you've written now?
I wrote another short story that I was actually planning to do on this podcast, but then I wrote another short story which I'm now using. But I have,
Why'd you decide to use this one, not the other one?
Well, I wrote the other one just for the fun of it, and then I started writing this one for the fun of it as well, and then I had the idea to do the podcast about it, and so I just kept writing it, and I was like, I'll keep going with this one, and if it's less good than the previous one, then I'll go back to the previous one. Turns out it was, I'd say, pretty similar level. So, you know, I had the selection of both, and I choose the most recent one because it was slightly longer, and I feel like you would enjoy it more. That's my opinion.
I mean, I always, when we did this last time, I remember feeling such pressure because, you
yeah,
know,
me too. For sure.
I just feel like we're kind of posing as writers here, and it's not really our place to be writing things. That's what it feels like to me, you know?
I definitely felt that way a long time, especially after the first one. I was like, is this really good, you know? But then after the podcast, I got a couple of other outside points. I mean, it's still my family, but they genuinely seem to have enjoyed it. And,
I know, but
you know,
I really try not to listen there because, you know, they're not going to tell you that it's not good. They're not going to.
We only have each other, Max. We only have each other. But
that's why we must vow now to be honest about the stories.
I will destroy it if it's not good.
All right.
But I doubt. Last time we thought we would destroy each other, but in the end it was a very wholesome episode.
I agree.
I mean, hopefully we don't this time again, but who knows? Who knows what will happen? This is a crazy quarantine episode, so, you know. Maybe.
Yeah, I have a feeling it's going to be a longer one, too.
Well, especially on my part. We set ourselves a guideline. That's a nice slinky, Max, by the way. He's slinking around with a slinky.
It's a metal one.
Oh, I had a plastic one, but my brother, messed
it up.
Everyone
had the plastic one, and it always gets messed up.
It's rough now, but then my mom fixed it and cut half off.
Oh,
because
wow.
It was too so now I have half a plastic slinky, which is not ideal. I can't lie.
Yeah, I just can't go down. But you have you ever actually made it go down the stairs?
Oh yeah, but it never really works.
You
much.
Have? Yeah, I was about to say. Like,
you push it down and it falls like work. Maybe. Yeah, it maybe falls like two or three steps and then just deceases.
Yeah, it just like flops to one side. All right, we're not here to talk about.
Yes. The slinky episode is over, ladies and gentlemen. We're talking about some short stories.
It's time to get into them.
I propose Max starts because his story is shorter. What do the viewers say? They can't answer. So I guess Max is starting off with a short story.
Do you have a title for yours?
Yeah. It's quite bad, but it's it's a title.
I have a title too. All right. Should we talk about the stories or just read them straight away?
Read it and then we'll talk, and then you give me what your mindset was and then I'll give you my review of it.
I'm just getting so nervous right now, man.
Yeah, and I'm taking notes on this on a wonderful blue sheet of paper. I will be keeping this paper for later as well for future reference.
I really feel like I'm back, you know, in a classroom about to do a presentation and my PowerPoint isn't working.
Technical difficulties? That's what everyone would say, you know.
Yeah.
A lot of people really stress out about those. And, you know, I understand, but
you
some
would
people...
stress out about them too, Doug.
Yeah, I know, but not to the point where I would start throwing up and shaking and shit, which some people actually would.
It's a rarity, though.
Yeah, but you know, my brother and sister are a lot shyer than me, and they have that. Well, not to that extent, but they have it pretty rough compared to me. I mean.
Yeah, it is very common, certainly.
Yeah. And some people just thrive in that situation, which I respect a lot.
Yeah.
But enough titter-tatter.
Yes,
Max.
Let's get into it.
Let's stop
I'm just
going
to do this uninterrupted reading.
Yeah,
I'm
going
to try and get into the calm. People always tell me to talk slower on these. So
slower and breathe. You know, maybe emphasize a few intense moments that you have.
All right.
And also
ready?
You need to give me the title in the beginning.
Yeah, of course. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
All right. The newspaper and the train. Charlie knew what he wanted, to get on this train. Jane had shown signs of reluctance, but had agreed in the end. It had been months, and he'd finally gotten to the part of his trip he was most excited about. The train ride from Delhi to Colombo. After 2 weeks on the beaches of Sri Lanka, they would get on a boat to Southeast Africa. But for the time being, Charlie's mind was fixated on the train. I'm going to go get a pack. You want anything? No, that's all right. I'll meet you on the platform. Charlie had walked off before Jane got a chance to ask what the platform number was. Figuring she'd find out in due course, she proceeded into the mall attached to Delhi Central Station. She found a convenience store and bought a pack of mints and a pack of Luckies. She stopped by the newspaper section before she left and quickly slipped one into her purse. 15:37. Time till departure, 7 minutes. Looking back down, Charlie was starting to get concerned. He paced, up and down, checked the board again, 15:40, and grabbed his phone. It rang four times, then voicemail. Time till departure, 3 minutes. Charlie and Jane had been fighting. That was why she'd went to get the pack in the first place. Now wandering around, oblivious to how long she had left, Jane felt an urge to just walk right out of the station and take the next flight back to Norway. She felt wrong about thinking that way, but stopped in her tracks anyways. She considered Charlie standing there alone on the platform and then thought about her parents and her brother. What did she really want? Her life for the past weeks had been a series of escapades into the pseudo-unknown with just another Charlie. She turned around. Now facing away from the station, she started walking. 15:44. Time to departure, 1 minute. Charlie was sweating now, and pacing more furiously and aggressively than before. Where was she? Had she bailed? They'd seen better times, but they were about to go explore the world together, see the unseen, a natural turnaround in their relationship, or so he wished. The sound of a train clattering into the station suddenly brought Charlie back into the real world. Frantically peeking around the corner of the long convicts platform, he tried to get a look, and even before seeing the train, started calling out, "Jane! Please, Jane!" The train sounded like it was right there. The screeching of the brakes, the hurtling sound of metal wheels clattering over uneven track. He checked the board again. 15:45. He looked again. Still nothing. And then, suddenly, it was right next to him. Silence for a moment, and then, as he turned around, there stood a train on the opposite platform. 15:45. Train delayed. 5 minutes. Hand on door, ready to push herself into the city center again, she stopped. She knew what she was about to do was right, but then fear. Fear took her over. Her mind went blurry. She had no money. Hadn't talked to her parents since Charlie and her had set off, and now, in a strange country, no transport and a cluttered mind. Giving into logic and practicality, she turned back to the platforms. Now in a bit of a hurry. 15:47, train delayed, 3 minutes. Still no sign of Jane, and counting on another delay seemed like a long shot. He tried the phone again. No answer. 2 minutes left now. Where the hell was she? Not wanting to leave his bags behind, he decided to stay on the platform and get into the train, with or without her. 15:49, train delayed, 1 minute. She could see the labyrinth of platforms intertwined below her. She was on the top level. The only thing she was certain of was that she had to go down. Coming to her senses, she walked to a desk with a woman sitting behind it. "Please, I need your help. My train's about to leave and..." Before she could finish a sentence, the woman gestured down to a little sign atop the desk. "Dia Bedi." Under that, two flags. An Indian and the Japanese. No help. Jane decided to just start running. Luckily, she only had her purse left, for she had given all her luggage to Charlie. Just a stolen newspaper, her cigarettes, some gum, and a silent phone. She found a board with all departures on it, quickly scanned it, and saw what she was looking for. Now just three flights of stairs separated her from Charlie, as the same sound was heard by him, and this time, it was their train. "Charlie, I'm here!" she shouted at him. A massive sense of relief came over him. There she was. Finally, they could begin their trip, worry-free. All would go well. Jane felt good about going back and not leaving him there, and if she was being honest with herself, she didn't really want to go back to Norway anyways. The train was rolling into the station as Jane was coming down the last set of stairs. She'd have to run, but would surely make it. The doors opened. Charlie started lugging each piece of luggage on as quick as he could. Jane was now just a few paces away. As she reached Charlie, she threw her arms around him, ready to grab him tight just for a second. As he saw what she was doing, he turned his back to get onto the train and said, "No time, come on." The lights of the door closing illuminated, and Jane put her right foot forward to embark, her purse hanging loosely off of her shoulder. She considered how close she'd gotten to missing this train, and felt so guilty. Charlie was known to hold a grudge. Taking one last look back, she felt free, and then mortified. Standing in front of her was the convenience store attendant, screaming at her and pointing at her handbag, which still contained the stolen newspaper. Both feet now on the train, the attendant grabbed her arm and pulled. All right, that's it.
What a brilliant ending. What a ride.
Yeah,
so,
God.
So, I can definitely tell there are a few inspirations in this. For example, I feel like I recognize a little bit of Darjeeling Limited in the whole Indian train vibe.
Yeah, I mean, I had such trouble coming up with what to write about, and all I knew was I wanna do something with travel or transport, or just
trains.
I thought of doing something on a boat, but then the whole I didn't want to make it too much about the location, you know, and still try and have something going on with characters who are somewhat defined. But, you know, I really, you know, if I could have fleshed the story out and wrote 2,000, 3,000, 4,000 words, and then talk a little bit about what had gone on before and why they were in this situation and what the relationship was really like, you know.
But I think maybe if that, okay, I'll give a little bit of my analysis, because I definitely think that not describing the past of the trip or the future is what makes the story so interesting. Because, I like how you put little details, like Charlie was known to hold a grudge, or, you know, different sort of, you learned this little aspect about this character. I really enjoyed that.
That's great. I try to be really conscious of putting in those little things as well.
It makes them very human. However cringy that sounds, you know, it makes them feel real, which I thought was great. A second really positive thing that I thought was good was the timestamps that you used. I don't know how much that's used in literature usually, but I thought that was great, because it really emphasized the pressure of the train is leaving now, and especially with interrailing and those trips that we've done, the timing and shit is so important.
All my stories just come from interrailing.
Yeah, it's cool that you went on that trip. You know, it really it inspired you a lot.
Apparently, yeah.
mentioning the thing about the fleshing out, I like how you didn't flesh out the past of the trip and the future, but I would have enjoyed a little more maybe description of the station itself, because at some points at some points you're like, oh, Jane walked to the convenience store. I would have liked to see where that's located, because some points I was like
talk about the different magazines that were there and
talk
a little more about the attendant and focus on that so that it has more meaning
exactly
later.
And the layout of the station itself all in all, I really enjoyed the story. I thought the location was good. The characters were really interesting. I like how you start off with Charlie and then focus. You switch around with characters.
Yeah,
which I haven't.
Yeah.
I haven't really done that yet. I usually try to focus on one person, but I think it might be time for me to try experiment with that as well, because it seems
it's a lot of
to make
fun.
The story. Yeah. And yeah, all in all, I thought this was very... I related a lot to the story with the whole, train trip and timing and stuff like that, but also this seems very interesting to have a dynamic with two people that seem to be dating and that are having difficulty on an intense trip like this. So, you know, good job.
I really appreciate that, man. Yeah, again, just reading it out now, it makes me feel... I had that last time we did it as well. When you actually read out
your
story.
You feel very relieved.
Yeah. And accomplished, too.
Yeah. Yeah, you're like, this is better than I expected it to be, you know?
Yeah.
But, the Labyrinth of Platforms, great line there. It was one of the few descriptions. Yeah, one of the few descriptions of the station. So I was like, this is a good line. So maybe, you know, expanding on that, describing maybe even the inhabitants or the people that are walking around could be very interesting.
I just have trouble doing that, because it feels like it feels like I need to get action in there. You know, I need to keep the story engaging at all times.
But
it's about just creating the world, right?
That's more definitely. I think that's definitely what you like the most about my previous story. The way that you settling down and just describing the setting or a specific location is always. I feel like it seems pretty boring, but it always puts the picture well in the mind of the listener or the reader, which I think is a good advantage, even
doing that with characters, though, just describing their physical
for
appearance
sure.
and what they're wearing. I could have created that image of her being the type of person who steals the newspaper
because
and then gets caught.
For sure. You know, because I have that. I now have a very good insight on what she's like in terms of personality-wise and what she feels about Charlie, which I think was great. But definitely, some physical aspects could have been interesting as well to explore. The small little details that you put, like Charlie was known to hold a grudge or stuff like that, really adds to the story. Like, it made me... It fleshes out the character a lot.
Yeah, certainly. Rather than just describing action, you also describe motive. Yeah,
exactly. So, yeah, main inspirations, the Interrail trip and Darjeeling Limited.
Things you love to see.
Things you love to see. But, yeah, very... all in all, I'd give it a solid rating, you know? I don't know how much, but a very high one for sure.
Well, I appreciate that.
Especially in a short story. It's hard to make you feel stuff for characters in that way.
Yeah, but I mean, this was 1,000 words, and this felt like 5 times as long as the previous ones we did.
it felt so long. Mine, you're going to freak out when you hear mine is twice as long as this. Yeah, and I'm... Yeah, okay, this is stressing me out now. I don't... You know... Yeah. Okay, I'll open up my story.
Yeah.
Yeah, my story, I feel like I wrote it faster than you, though, because it took me... Once I had the main idea, I just rolled with it for a long...
Yeah.
For quite a short amount of time.
Over how many days did you spread the writing process?
3. I spent 3... The first... Well, I mean, I don't know how long because usually what happens is that I think up of an idea when I'm just, like, doing something else. And then after a while, I muster up the courage to, like, write about that idea. And then that takes me a short amount of time. Because I try to flesh out the idea as much as I can in my mind before starting to write. I don't know. It's because I'm scared of writing, I think. Yeah, I'm like, if I start writing this and it's shit, then, you know, it wasn't worth my time.
Well, so I kind of like wearing headphones like this because I can pretty much only hear you. I can barely hear myself.
Yeah, me too. I feel like I'm speaking very loudly because I can't hear myself, but maybe that'll be better for the recording as well. Who knows?
Yeah, I think so.
But yeah, and I don't know about Discord sounds very good.
Yeah, I mean, for us, it's really good. And then it's just going to be about syncing up the QuickTime.
Yeah, and I think, I mean, you can also listen to it quite a bit and see, like, if there's any, like, tiny amount of delay or anything like that.
Yeah.
But yeah, okay, I'll start reading my story so we don't have too long of a podcast.
All right, I'll just put myself... actually, let me check. All right, I'll just put myself on mute. And then you can just
and then
listen.
And then type. Okay.
Yeah.
So, right. The title of my story is The Skater, as in the person who skateboards. Waking up was an immediate aggression on his senses. The bright sunlight that filtered through the roof of the window caused... for red lights to dance behind his eyelids. He felt the taste of beer and liquor reach into his throat and crawl down to his stomach. A light migraine was probably the reason he had woken up earlier in the day. Getting up from the face-down position his body was in, he wiped the drool from his chin and stumbled out of bed, gravitating towards the sink across the room. He looked himself in the eye. The face that looked back at him seemed tired, as always. He tried to pinpoint the reason for that. Probably that his eyes were always half shut, as if he was fighting back sleep, or maybe the dark patches that no amount of sleep could lighten. He turned the cold water tap and let it run in between his cut-up fingers. He couldn't remember much of last night, but the pastiness of his mouth and his discarded clothes on the floor that reeked of alcohol told him enough. Dashing some water on his face, he slicked his dark hair back and tied a low bun on the top of his neck. Fighting with his dry eyes, he realized that he had slept with his lenses in. He immediately popped them out and flicked them into the bin nearby. He then rummaged around his backpack and opened the small glasses holder that contained his oval, purple-shaded sunglasses. Ever since breaking his normal glasses, he had to either wear lenses or his vision-suited sunglasses to be able to see. Turning to his alarm clock, he checked the time, and realizing that it was still early, he started getting dressed. Since his large room was right under the roof, he could tell that the weather and temperature of the day was going to be. Given the fact that he felt perspiration form on his temples already, he gulped down a bottle of cool water from the sink, which cleared his head a little. He then rummaged through a pile of clothes on the ground and slipped into some loose shorts and pulled a dark shirt over his head. The shirt had a large rose pattern on it, which he appreciated. He then put on some high socks to protect his shins and set about trying to untie the muddy pair of Converse that had been used maybe a few too many times. He was clearly not using them sustainably, he contemplated. After successfully wrenching the shoes onto his feet, he lay back down on the bed, feeling the room swirling around him. Through the roof window, a blue sky lay out in front of him. No clouds appeared, but instead, a couple of seagulls glided past, far, far away. Since they had arrived from the right, he considered that this could be a good day. Getting back up to a seating position, he readjusted the sunglasses that had perched themselves lower down on his nose. He then realized that his phone had been charging all night beside him and smiled, thanking his drunk self for remembering. With high spirits, he grabbed his scratched-up headphones and reached under his bed for his skateboard. Then, in one smooth movement, he strode out of his room, shut the door behind him, and leapt down a flight of stairs. After a cup of orange juice and a kiss on his mother's cheek, he found himself cruising down the street with his wires flooding in the warm breeze of August. The headphones did have a Bluetooth option, but when they had been passed down from his brother, he had been told that the sound was always better with wires, a tip he had since religiously followed. The headache still remained, latent and beating lightly behind his forehead, but as the sun beamed down on his face, the incessant rush of blood to his brain diminished. He accelerated, pushing his foot down beside the skateboard, beating the asphalt with his withered soles. After a smooth turn into a larger street, he arrived to his destination. A worn-down bus stop, of which only the sign remained from the original seat and rain cover combination. He checked his phone. He hadn't missed it. Missing a bus during the summer here meant waiting an additional 2.5 hours. So when he woke up late, which he invariably did, any plan could be forgotten. Entering the bus from the back, he slipped into an empty seat and placed the skateboard beside him. The seats were comfortable enough, but what he truly enjoyed from these bus rides was the window. These large apertures allowed for an impregnable view on the outside, and he leant his head against it, feeling the slow acceleration of the transporter vibrate through his body. He then started to play music in his previously silenced headphones. A slow beat commenced, and he shut his eyes, leaning into the backrest. A delicate masculine voice joined, piercing and full of emotion. The song resembled a lament, yet remained playful. Rolling out of the beat-down headphones into his ears, the voice remained in perfect timing with the tempo, rising and falling, similar to the waves that were now visible from the bus window as the machinery pushed harder, rising onto a gentle hill. "I just need a friend. I don't need another lover," the voice echoed. He opened his eyes as a new song started. The bus was almost at the beginning of the end of its journey. The edge of the city had been reached, and what awaited was a long climb to the top of this cliff. The bus released a hiss as its doors opened to the warm air. He stepped out and hopped onto his skateboard. He had grown accustomed to the view that greeted him. The entire coastal city lay down in front of him, and, further away, the turquoise sea seemed still as a lake. Where the water met the sky, the water seemed to change colors, fluttering from the dark blue to green. Tall buildings were disseminated around the landscape, which reflected the sun in bright rays that blinded him. Looking away, he adjusted his glasses and set off. At the highest point was a large park, in which a lot of the younger people would invariably gather. He wasn't interested in that, though. What he was seeking was the skate park. An old and decrepit cement batch of skating obstacles. His favorite one was usually the manual pad, but today he would hurl himself at the handrail. The risk was higher, but the reward worth it. He took off his headphones and placed it with his phone in the grass under the large oak tree that stood protectively above the skating area. The sun had risen in the sky when he took his first rest. He had broken a solid sweat, attempting to swing down the rusty rails. Luckily, he had the whole place to himself, even though the park in which the skating was located had gradually begun to fill up. He had seen a girl of his grade as well, noticing a brief look in the distance, which they both acknowledged. She was a type of unconventional attractiveness, which did not draw attention, yet remained in the mind of whomever was to cross paths with her. He had seen her around, but always remained aloof from larger groups, and had therefore never learned her name. He leaned against the large oak tree and focused on the task at hand again. He thought he had finally figured out the line to follow, so he took a few deep breaths and got up, despite the loud protesting by his aching legs and back. After another couple of hours, he finally landed the perfect slide and, in bonus, had followed it up with a hard flip. Punching the air with an explosion of delight, he smiled and rode back to the oak tree, wiping sweat from his brow. He picked up his headphones and placed them back on his ears. He then wiped his sunglasses, which had blurred up with steam from the effort. Out of the side of his now cleared up vision, he discerned the girl, who seemed to be leaving the park as well. He therefore waited a few seconds for her to leave his vision, and then started riding out. Reaching the top of the cliff, he now had a dilemma. Take the bus down, or go for the risky but gratifying ride down. Seeing the girl and a flock of her friends sitting at the bus stop, he opted for the second option. He tapped his phone and placed it into his pocket, kicking into action the music, a linear house beat, filling his ears. A few seconds later, he was approaching top speed, placing his hands behind his back as his eyes started watering from the sudden increase of warm wind resistance. Approaching the first turn, he leant to one side, and the skateboard followed his body's motion down the sun-beat concrete. As a modified woman voice entered the scene of the song, preparing the listener for the drop, he heard the loud rolling of his wheels. This was immediately covered by the first drop, a booming bass which carried him faster down the cliff. He looked up, and this time the view before him seemed a lot more real, as the wind tried to enter his body by any way possible. He swerved about, avoiding the large cracks on the road. The song dropped back to the tempered beat as he approached the second turn, and this time more weight had to be placed at the edge of the board to allow for a smooth turn. Successfully reaching another straight line, he let out an ecstatic laugh and looked back. He saw the bus engage in its descent of the hill. He had arrived at a speed where drifts would have to be made to slow down. The first one was always the hardest, as the rider would have to launch their legs to one side and remain in control of the board enough to lurch it back into position. Successfully completing his first one sent his body into rapture, as the pressure of the downforce and the excitement made his legs shake. As if rewarding him, the woman's voice announced another drop, and the electric beat followed the bass into a powerful finale. The high of the fast-paced ride decreased with the speed of the skateboard as he reached the bottom of the hill and the bus stop. Keeping the speed up, he attempted a rail jump off the side of the bus rail. This was a jump that he had completed that same day, but this time, the tiredness made his legs give way. Slamming his shin into the side of the rail, he flew sideways and closed his eyes, bracing for impact. The first he felt was a burst of pain in his right knee and then a second flash in his lower back. His momentum stopped brutally in the grass on the side of the road. He lay on his back for a few seconds and looked up once again at the bright blue sky. His hair had come untied and was now draped across the grass around his head. A new pain in his elbow now formed as his body came around. If you have no discomfort in your life, how do you know what comfort feels like? He considered, staring at the seagulls so far overhead through his now cracked sunglasses. He only realized that his headphones had been ripped off when a helping hand held them out towards him. Into his line of vision came the girl. "Are you okay?" she hurriedly questioned. "What's your name?" he answered, ignoring the original query. She knelt down beside him as he pushed himself into a sitting position. "Rose." He smiled and looked down at his now bleeding knee. "Today was a good day," he uttered, finally, as the sound of shrieking seagulls continued high in the sky. That was it.
Things you'd love to see. That was so good, man. I really like really? That.
Okay, yeah, really. I thought I was getting kind of long at the end. I was like, okay, my voice is cracking now.
I really like that. And like, yeah? it didn't feel 2,000 words long at all.
Okay, just, thank God, dude. That was my stress. I was like, he's gonna get bored at some point. No, my voice was cracking up as well. I don't know if you heard that.
Really? Oh. No, I didn't hear it. So I think.
Okay, good. Nice.
I have like 50 notes written down. I can just kind of go through them quickly.
Okay, and then, go through the notes, and then I'll tell you what my mindset was throughout the writing.
Sounds good. My very first thought was, give us a name of this gentleman.
Yes. I enjoy not giving names, but I see where that would be, that could be nice.
And then, just kind of going back to the first, paragraph or two in the story, I really felt like we were waking up together with him in terms of the line length and just the pace of the story. The more he woke up, the more, just the quicker we were receiving detail. So I thought that was very cool how that kind of, went in the same line. Thank
you. Yeah, I tried that. And I think the line delivery also helps a lot. I tried to take it slow at the beginning and then slowly accelerate
the way you read it. Yeah.
I think that's an interesting way to read, I guess, is to listen to it.
Throughout the whole story, you kind of build this lonely, somber motif around this guy, which, you know, and then in the end, you know, there, you could even see that was a discomfort, and here's the girl, and here's the comfort, you know?
Yeah, yeah, oh, for sure. That, like, the whole story is him just being very, I feel like I very much inspired, like, from a lot of my experiences in high school or in university, where I'm not like that all the time, but definitely a side of me is definitely like, I don't want to talk to anyone and stuff like that. And I really tried to just take that one side and make it very intense in this one guy.
I see. Well, you did a great job of that.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
And then when you talked about the low bun and then the lenses and the glasses, I was like, that sounds like Leander and you right there.
Leander. I was not going for Leander at all. I see where that would go. But yeah.
With the low bun? Are you kidding me? Leander's a South African friend of ours who has a sort of man bun.
But no, I meant more like an actual, like, very long hair and a sort of like almost like your brother. Like, that's the type of hair.
Yeah, I got that, but I just thought about Leander.
Yes, yeah, I know you. I see where that would come from. And the lenses part was definitely I when I come back from a party or something, it's the worst to take off your lenses. Yeah. And I thought that would. The discomfort that he has in the beginning of the story would definitely be increased by the whole lenses thing. So I thought that'd be an interesting addition. And he's forced to wear the sunglasses because he doesn't have anything else. That was pretty in character, I thought, for him.
Mm-hmm. And then there was the part where he was like looking outside or seeing birds and then like determining things based on that.
Yeah, I thought that was kind of a funny goof to add to the
I like that a lot.
Because I like that, like, a lot. Yeah, I don't have this anymore that much, but I used to have a lot of like I feel like everyone had the one where it's like, if you walk on the line, you're gonna die or some stuff like that. I don't know if you've ever had that when you're walking down the street, you're like, I'm not gonna step on any lines.
Yes, I thought
like seeing birds coming from the right was a similar like sort of, I guess, mannerism. Certainly. That could make it.
Yeah, I know. I mean, what you're talking about right now, I think most people have these things, especially when they're younger, where you these. Conditions in your mind based on probability in life, really.
Yeah, for sure.
So I thought that was cool.
Thank you.
And then you mentioned the warm breeze of August. There's no warm breeze in August.
Isn't it warm in August?
not that I can recall. It's like beginning of autumn, you know?
No way. August is midsummer, dude. What are you talking about?
Midsummer? What are you talking about? July is midsummer.
My sister's birthday, 15th of August, it's always like midsummer. That's the vibes I'm getting. Midsummer vibes.
No, that's late summer vibes. That's
end okay. summer. Well, it's still it could still be a warm breeze, you know?
All right. Okay.
I think maybe a month before could be more accurate.
Yeah, I agree. Then we move on to you wrote, when he first gets on the skateboard, you're like, and he pushed away with his withered soul.
Yeah.
And I know that you meant the soul of his foot, but I thought that was so cool because what we know about the character so far, he has a withered soul.
He has a withered soul. Yes, yes. I didn't mean it to happen, but when I reread it,
of course not.
I realized it.
Yeah, there you go.
But yeah, I was thinking about the converse and the souls, and then, you know, he does. That's pretty an interesting coincidence there.
I really like that unconventional attraction you're talking about. It builds up, it foreshadows the intrigue, really. When you say that, you're like, it sticks in the mind, and then the girl has to stick in the reader's mind, you know?
Yeah.
Even if you don't get any description.
Oh, I see. Oh, by saying that it sticks in the mind, it sticks in the mind. Okay, that's an interesting, I hadn't considered that.
Well, because then my mind is just like, well, what is a girl like that like? You know, someone who just doesn't leave your mind. And,
so you think about it. You know. Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, because, like, I started writing it like some... I didn't even write that down, but like when I had my ideas, I was like, it's some attractive girl. And then I was like, that's so bland and boring. I'm not going to write that down.
It's the same thing with like horror movies. It's the mystery. It's the not knowing
where the
emotion or the fear in the case of horror movies comes from.
For sure.
So leaving her blank is nice, you know?
It's like a blank page. But that's also partly the reason why I don't really like giving names to my main characters. Although in this case, maybe it could have been better. But I like, because when you attach a name to someone, personally, at least, I immediately, like, link some stuff to a certain name. I don't know.
That's not true, though, because, like, when we read Murakami, you've said in the past that Ann Paul Oster, like, their characters get names, but you still live in those
characters.
That's true.
That's definitely a good point. I can't argue with that.
Daddy.
And, but also, you could consider that I'm not as good as a writer as them, so maybe, you know, maybe
that's
it's a way to facilitate it for me. But next short story, I'll give a name, and I'll see how that goes.
Sounds good. All right. Then like the one thing I will criticize is the way that you described the skating, specifically in the skate park, because you were like something hard flip, and I'm like,
yes.
My god.
You didn't like that part? I thought it was.
Well, that's not a thing, you know.
Yeah, but I didn't want to like. I didn't want to put like an ollie or something. First of all, it is a thing because I watched. I actually inspired this character from a rapper that I really like. Well, he's not really a rapper. He's like a rapper and singer, and he's also a skateboarder. And I watched a couple of his interviews in which he's very interesting in, and he talks about his like his skating background and stuff like that. And I really thought it was interesting.
But did he talk about the hard flip?
Yeah, at one point the question is like, what's your favorite skill to move? And he's like, I like this one. He's like, hard flip. And I'm like, ish, get it, let me put that in my story. But, my main point was that I didn't want to write like, he did a kick flip or an ollie.
Yeah,
I
get that.
You know?
Yeah, I get that. I get that too. That's a
but I, yeah, I definitely wrote about something that I was not an expert in. And I get that you called me out on that because it's...
tell you though, the him skating down the mountain, love to see it, dude. The
I thought it was quite intense.
Like the way that you were talking about with the music is very, very cool. I like that a lot.
The music is definitely the music that I was listening to at the time at which I wrote this story. I was like, I have a new playlist.
You were listening to House? You were listening to House?
Yeah, I have a new playlist that I listened to House because it was warm and shit, and I was like, I'm listening outside. I was reading, and I was listening to this, and I was like, it'd be cool if the guy was skating to this music, and then I wrote it down.
All right. Well, you know, it works. And then the final thing is I wrote down, love that plotting, introducing girl, timing them arriving at the same place at the same time. So I just thought the way that it connected back together when they both leave the mountain and they converge, it's cool.
I thought that was a
cool
switcheroo.
It makes sense that the girl would come later because the guy's obviously faster because she's just walking.
Right? Yeah, and I say the bus comes down when he's already like halfway there. It's pretty cool. I definitely don't. It's not an expected thing where he's like laying. At one point, I thought the story would just end there, but then I was like, I need to bring this girl back in. You know, she's too important.
Yeah, I see that for sure. Yeah, I was afraid that you were just gonna mention her and then forget about writing in an ending with her.
I almost did, but then I was like, no, she stays in the mind. You know, I was like, I gotta keep this into the ending. So all in all, both great stories about traveling in some way.
I don't know about both, but I really liked yours, that's for sure.
I really liked yours, you know, so...
I appreciate that, man.
It's a mutual respect, once again.
Certainly.
So, do you have any Book Boys recommendation of the week?
I was about to say, I think it's your turn.
I knew you'd remember, okay. I'll think for a couple of seconds, because I actually have quite a few, but... I mean, like, I'm not going to do another anime because, you know, like people get it. I like anime. What could I recommend? I would definitely recommend reading, what's the name of the author that you gave me? Yukio Mishima. Yeah. So for my birthday, Max gave me a book by Yukio Mishima, who is a Japanese author, and he's definitely, I don't think he's one of my favorite authors, but he's really interesting to read in the way that he describes Japanese life in that time. It's fascinating, and it's quite slow-paced, and the descriptions are very intricate, and he also partly inspired me from my story about the coastal aspect of the city, like there's the sea and stuff like that, because the main setting of that story that you gave me is on a coastal sea, but of course in Japan in like rural times. But it's a fascinating way of, like, the way he describes the reflection in the water and stuff like that. Very interesting. So I definitely recommend the viewers to check him out.
That's cool. I don't think we have any viewers. I mean, we may have some listeners.
Yes. Every time. The listeners.
Yeah.
And I have to use this also back to the book.
Oh, yeah. Well, I guess we didn't really need it now because we just stuck with the book the whole time.
Maybe next week we'll have a short story analysis.
We can do a book again. Yeah.
Sure, for sure. And I'm down to write more short stories. Maybe a little shorter than the 2,000-word one, but short stories are just very intense of an experience, I find. So it's always enjoyable.
Yeah, it's a pretty good time.
Anything else to add for the listeners?
No, that's it for me.
45 minutes. That's a decent length podcast. So I think we'll keep them entertained to the end of this quarantine, I guess.
I hope so. And we're hoping to bring you guys another episode real quick, you know.
Yeah, as soon as we can. We'll try to work on it.
Yeah. All right, well, we'll see you guys hopefully soon. We hope you enjoyed this.
Yes, and, thank you for listening to the end. Follow us, yeah. Follow us on social media and everywhere you can. You know, we have accounts everywhere.
The people who are still listening now are already following us on this.
That's for sure. But who knows? Maybe it's like a future fan base that comes to follow our old episodes, and they're like, "Oh, they were pretty funny back then," you know. So yeah. Shout out to you, random viewer.
Oh yes.
Yeah, that's right.
All right. Well, we'll see you guys soon. Bye bye.
See you later.